all this morning. Let us just bless you, Kuriando Bosandere Bosanda, hallelujah. Let us just bless the Lord, for he and only he is worthy to be praised. Praise God. This is Cornerstone Deliverance Church, and this is our 12 p.m. Sunday school. Amen. Praise God. We thank God for this time of fellowship. We are located at 830 Pepperidge Road, Westbury, New York, 11590, but we are still having services via conference sanctuary. Amen. Praise God. And our website is www.cornerstonedeliverancechurch.com. If you desire to partner with us, amen, whether it be in tithes, offerings, seeding, or donations of any kind, amen, you can go and contact us through our website. And on that website, we do have a donate page, or you can do it through our Square Cash app, which is $CSDC12. Praise God. And so we thank God today for this opportunity to be able to be in Sunday school that we can learn of him. Praise God. Beloved Father, hallelujah, on today, O God, we give you glory. We give you praise. We give you honor, O God. Father, in this day, do we publicly repent of our sins, O God. Hallelujah. We want our heart to be right with you in and through all things. We commit this Sunday school lesson unto you even now, O God. Hallelujah. We ask that your unadulterated word come forth, Lord. We desire to hear from you. May you speak to our hearts. May you chastise us. May you rebuke us, O God. Even as David said, hallelujah, Jesus, my God. He said, chastise me sharply. Oh, Kuriandere Bosanda. Lord, we thank you for your word of edification, O God, of encouragement and of empowerment, O God. As we go forth in this Sunday school lesson, O God, we ask that you speak to our hearts, for we are ready to listen. Hallelujah, Jesus, to all that you have to say, that your word may perfect us in the way of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Father, we ask that you anoint the teacher of the hour. O God, anoint him from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, my God. Let all this being done today, let it be done for your glory, or don't let it be done at all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I release the line to you, Bishop Hurd.
Amen. Thank you, Apostle. Hallelujah. I thank God for this day. Just remember how pivotal that this moment is when it lets us know that this is the day that the Lord has made and that we shall, we must, we will rejoice and be glad in it. So we not only thank you for this day, Father, I thank you for all those that are on the line, all those that will come on the line, and even those that will listen to the very recording, Lord, that I ask that your spirit is what allows me to be able to speak your words, and that we not only receive something individually, but most of all, we receive something collectively as the body of Christ. I must say I enjoyed our reading and our study for today at a deeper level that God was able to reveal not only the man Samson, but to also reveal myself within this storyline, to be able to step outside of Samson and to be able to ask myself pivotal questions about what characteristics lied within Samuel. Lord, try me, show me, test me. Are those things pivotal? Are those things flowing in my life and in my lifestyle? So today we get to read about Samson in the book of Judges. And throughout all of Judges, as I'm looking and reading, Samson was the one that the book of Judges actually dedicated five chapters to. So literally we get a chance to be able to see Samson from the cradle to the grave. Amen. And the title for today says Samson against the Philistines. Those four words, Samson against the Philistines. And it wasn't until a few minutes ago when my spirit said, read it again and see what's wrong in that, in those four words of Samson against the Philistines. Whereas it should be Jehovah against the Philistines, because we understand scripture, what God allows us to know. As I read those four words just a minute ago, it lets me know in his word, it says, vengeance is mine in Romans 12 and 19. Vengeance is mine and I will repay, says the Lord. But then he goes on in 2 Chronicles 2 and 15 and he lets us know that the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. So when I read those four words, Samson against the Philistines, I realize whether the writer did it purposely or non-purposely, that immediately I see there's fault already in the title, based on knowing now that I've been into the reading that I'm going to be able to see some characteristic flaws that lied in Samson, but then it allowed me to see myself in the word as well. So as we see Samson against the Philistines, understanding that it should be, based off the scriptures and God's word, it should be Jehovah against the Philistines, I understand that immediately this was personal. This was personal, and I understand that personal revenge obviously is a dangerous and destructive motivation that only brings harm and never healing to the situation. Amen? And we have to know that God wants us to trust him to right the wrongs that has been committed against us, and also to realize that putting away our desire for revenge, our desire for revenge requires faith. Amen? As we seek to please the Lord rather than hurt our enemies. Amen? Because what I understand from his word is because there is a time for God's vengeance. Amen? And he renders it in his perfect timing. Amen? So immediately, as I saw in Judges chapter 15, starting at verse 9, where our reading will come from today, I understood immediately how the Holy Spirit nudged me to see in those four words the problem that if it's not stopped, it winds up spiraling even unto death, because we got to see, as I said, in these book of Judges, in these five chapters that was dedicated to Samson, which there was no judge that had that amount of chapters dedicated to them, that we got to experience with Samson, really, from his cradle to his grave moments. Amen? So with that, we are going to Judges, starting at chapter 15, verse 9. Judges 15 and 9, and we'll be reading to verse 20. With the understanding and keeping in mind that the title says, once again, Samson against the Philistines. Amen? And we understand that personal vengeance, or personal revenge, is dangerous and is destructive, as we will see. Amen? Verse 9 of Judges in chapter 15, it states, then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. So understand that just in the first verse, that right now we're seeing that the Philistines were preparing for war against Israel. And I can go to the backstory, but it actually comes out as we read to understand why that they were actually setting up war against the children of Israel. Verse 10, it goes on and it says, and the men of Judah said, why are ye come up against us? And they answered, to bind Samson, are we come up to do to him as he has done unto us. Amen? And the men of Judah, just understanding, we're talking about Judah in its origin of the name, which is the fourth son of Joseph. Amen? And Judah meaning the name praise. So, and also we understand that the line of Judah is where our Messiah comes from. So we're dealing right now basically to bring it into the here and now. When we're talking about Judah, we're talking about the church. So the men of Judah said, or the church said, why are you come against us? And they answered to bind Samson, and we come up to do to him as he had done to us. So we understand Samson being a Nazarite, or what I would just say in the here and now as a Nazarite Christian. Amen? So verse 11, it goes, 3,000 men of the church, we're talking about with 3,000 men versus one man. So the thing we see immediately is that they not only feared Samson, but they respected Samson. Amen? So they brought 3,000 men of Judah, and they went to the top of the rock of Etham and said to Samson, knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us? And he said unto them, as they did unto me, so I done unto them. So immediately we see that Samson is living under the mantra of an eye for an eye. And we talked about earlier about him making it personal, because the title says Samson against the Philistines. We're in Judges 15 and verse 11. So immediately when we see, he says, as they did unto me, so I have done unto them. So he's living a life and a lifestyle of an eye for an eye. And the sad thing about that, when we know about the end of the story, he lived an eye for an eye, but he wound up losing his eyes. Amen? That's why it lets us know that personal revenge and never brings healing. Amen? That's why God said, vengeance is mine. That's why he says, the battle is not yours, but the Lord. Amen? So Samson says, as they did unto me, he answers the people of Judah. He answers the church and said unto them, as they did unto me, so I have done unto them. And verse 12 of Judges chapter 15 says, and they said unto him, we are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines. Not the Philistines, but them. Amen? And Samson said unto them, swear unto me that ye will not fall upon me yourselves. Amen? So what is startling to me is that the deliverer, understand that he was the deliverer for that period in that season for the children of Israel. But now the deliverer is being delivered. Hallelujah. The deliverer is being delivered. The world has the church doing the dirty work. In this scenario, as we're reading it, the world, the Philistines, had the Judah doing the dirty work. How spiritually blind is that? That the deliverer is being delivered. And we understand just from verse 12 that these Israelites did not wish to have a Nazarite in their midst. We talk about one who would disturb their peace, amen, and excite the world against them. Just like we even see today, amen, that people will compromise. And I talk about that. If we compromise, then the things of the world become normalized, amen. So it behooves me when I read verse 12 about the deliverer being delivered, and it behooves me that instead of hailing Samson as a deliverer, they treated him as an enemy. And I understand people are quick to talk about Samson's character, and that was the difference with reading this time, the focus on Samson and his character, amen? But as they, not only I, but even those that have preached it before me talk about the character flaws, but very seldom mention the leaders of Israel who were in far worse spiritual condition at that time, even to the point that they would deliver their deliverer because of their fear and their compromise with the world. They didn't care about Samson, obviously, when we read from the story, nor did they care about the will of God. They sought only, saints, to what I would say, to appease the world, which frighteningly is the attitude of some of the churches today. They are comfortable with being more like culture than they are with Christ. So verse 12 allows us to see a lot in this, and I read it again, and they said unto him, we are come down to bind thee. We are come to do the dirty work of the Philistines, that we may deliver thee into the hands of the Philistines. And Samson said unto them, swear unto me that you will not fall upon me yourselves. Verse 13, and they spoke unto him, saying, no, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee into the hand, but surely we will not kill thee. The enemy thought he had me, but God. And it continues to say, and they bound him with two new cords and brought him up from the rock. Verse 14 of Judges chapter 15 says, and when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him. That's even better when you talk about the enemy thought he had me, but God. The Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. Verse 15, and he found a new jawbone of an ass and put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith. Amen. Saints, just understanding that they bound him. It was 3,000 of them. And they escorted him to the Philistines. And he had to fight them by himself. There's a thing of rolling with spiritual cowards. Samson was rolling with spiritual cowards because if you realize from this in verse 15, Israel should have helped him. And if you look at it, they would have been delivered from the Philistine yoke of bondage at that very moment. But because of their compromise, because of their fear, because of them negating and being against, being able to be out, be taken away and pulled out of that yoke of bondage. So Samson, with the power of the Lord, the spirit that was upon him, was able to slay 1,000 men by himself. And verse 16 goes on to say, and Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. And it came to pass in verse 17, when he had made an end speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand and called that place Amalek, which allows us to know that it means casting away
the jawbone. Lion, we had church with them on Sunday morning.
Oh, okay, live, Sherry.
Did you?
Okay, well, it ain't live church, but anyway, I'm online. Yeah, man. All right, thank you,
baby.
Hope you enjoy.
Hallelujah. So, verse 17 again says, and it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand and called that place Ramalia. And just seeing from 17 and dealing with the characteristics and understanding even the very title of Samson against the Philistines when it should have been Jehovah against the Philistines, we see Samson could literally rend a lion. He could tear apart a lion, and he could conquer the Philistines as we just saw in verse 16, but he could not rend his lust. And he could not rend nor conquer his own appetite. Amen? So we see sometimes, even within us, the enemy versus the inner me. Amen? So here we see what Samson was able to perform. But that thing that was in him, that lust that was in him, those desires that he could not conquer, was the real battle. It seemed like fighting the lions or fighting the Philistines was an easy battle. And God let me know those things, fighting those things outside of me can sometimes even mask and hide those things that are inside of me. And God is saying, what battles are you losing within yourself?
Amen.
What characteristic flaws are you failing at immensely, but you can hide behind being able to be successful and being able to have victory outside? It's time to do an inside. It's time to, as I say, be a fruit inspector. It's time to do some personal inventory. When I ask God, don't just show me Samson, show me me. Verse 18 says, and he was sore athirst and called unto the Lord and said, thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant. And now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? But God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name thereof in Hakkarah, which is in Lehi, unto this day. Verse 20, last verse. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. Amen. So we see where this Bible Sunday school ends, but we know the latter part of him dealing with and moving in the spirit in the mantra of an eye for an eye, and later losing his very eyes. And God is letting us know that personal revenge is dangerous and destructive, because revenge is not ours. He let us clearly know in Romans 12 and 9 that vengeance is his, amen, and that he will repay. So we get to see a man of greatness and a man of prominence, and sometimes I wonder what could have actually came from his life if these things wasn't perplexing to him that he couldn't achieve. I'm literally saying that to myself. Lord, can I put myself in a position where I can add to my years or even cut my years because of my actions? So this is not just about Samson. This is about Samson being able to be a mirror for me to be able to see, to be able to move in the spirit of God and the power and the might of God. But being mindful that though I move in that power, that I still have to make sure I'm focused and mindful of my of the qualities that's in me and the characteristics that protrude out of me, amen, to be able to not be a stumbling block unto myself at first. Because if I'm a stumbling block unto myself, then I will be a stumbling block unto others, amen. And this is a session of the scriptures that we have read thus far of Judges chapter 15, verse 9 through 20. Is there anything that anybody wants to add or talk about, or what they got to see or even see themselves when it comes to what God is showing us in this very text that we've got to read on today? Amen.
Amen. Amen. I would like to share, praise God, that I love the scripture text and the truth concerning Samson as a judge that God raised up to deliver his people Israel. And it was after they had did evil in the sight of God again. That's why they needed deliverance, because they did evil in the sight of God. But even within the deliverer that God raised up as Bishop Toit, that he had, you know, his own issues. He had his own concerns, praise God. And what I believe is that, you know, we really need the grace of God. We need Christ in us to help us overcome. Bishop said we're fighting a lot of exterior battles, but, you know, the way that we really overcome is to deal with the battles within. Because the only way we can be defeated is if we don't respond right, or if we do not live right. You know, we have to make sure that the inner battle is won, praise God. And Samson The word of God clearly shows Samson as a great deliverer. He was truly raised up by God. He was a gift to his mother womb, who was barren. And we find him, you know, loving. He had a love for the Philistine woman. You know, when he should have had someone of his own, you know, he had a love for these type of women. And even though these women wanted to know the secret to, one of them wanted to know the secret to deliver him unto her people, which is the Philistines, and the other was afraid of her people, and he called her a heifer, amen, because she disclosed his riddle that he shared with her as his wife, amen. And so we have to really be mindful and really tap into God's provision for us. That provision is Christ, that we can win the inner battles. I believe he shows us Samson, amen, to show us that Samson received God unmerited favor even when he had the drink, amen. Hallelujah. He received God's unmerited favor. Praise God. And we all have received that through faith in Christ. Praise God. And so this is truly a good lesson. And even as Bishop said, it is speaking to him. I know it's speaking to me. And I pray that, hallelujah, that we all allow for the word of God to speak to us, to edify us, to be salves to our sores. Amen. You know, those afflicted areas. Amen. Let this word today be salved to it. Amen. We must walk in obedience unto God, and we have to depend on his grace and Christ within us. Amen. To be able to fight these battles, because vengeance is God. But that doesn't mean that you don't set good boundaries. Amen. Hallelujah. You can forgive, but you need to place people and things where they ought to be and not allow them to have that readily access to you, amen, that you are behaving in such a way or dealing with things in such a way, amen. I believe that everything has its place, and that for every season there is a time, amen. And like Bishop said, that maybe this ain't the time for that season. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. We have to be good discerners of these things. Amen. And Samson, even in all of his faults and all of his weakness, amen, because he was weak in areas, amen, he was still God's man. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul says that when you are weak, say that you are strong. Amen. Let the weak say that I am strong. Amen. Praise God. And so, beloved, but we can only be strong in Christ. And if we're going to be strong in Christ, that means that we have to be strong in his counsel. Amen. Both in our own weakness, that we could be, that his counsel will be made perfect, that his provision will be made perfect. Amen. I'm really enjoying this Sunday school teach, and I pray that it is blessing all of you as it is as well blessing me.
Amen. Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Apostle. Is there anything else that anybody would like to add before I go on? So just in enjoying the story and being able to thank God that that we as the reader and we as saints, as we are growing spiritually, can use the opportunity to always use the word as a mirror. And just understanding as I read this that one thing that stand out immediately that Samson was a man who was gifted by God in a very unique way, amen, and something that we have not seen in the Bible except for this instance about the uniqueness about how Samson was gifted from God and equipped with strength that no one else has ever had, amen. He was able to accomplish, from what we see from the story and even the five chapters that he's in, he was able to accomplish great exploits that impressed, but not only impressed people, but it scared people at the same time. And that's why I said even the very people of Judah, they feared him, but they respected him. Amen? I truly believe, based off of the way that they moved and did things, that they feared him way more than they respected him. Amen? And unfortunately, he often used, and this was something that I was able to see for myself, that Samson used the gift for selfish purposes. This is one of the areas where I think he fell, and he fell quickly because of what was laid upon him. The gift that was bestowed upon him was used entirely more for selfish purposes. Amen? And we see just in the beauty of the backstory that after Samson set fire to the Philistine grain fields, the Philistines raided the Israelite city of Lehi, which is, we know, is located in Judah. Amen? And during that time, saints, Israel was under Philistine control. Didn't have to be, but they were, because as the chapter 16 opens up in chapter 12, and at least six times in the book of Judges, it said once again that the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So during this time, Israel is now under the Philistine control, amen? And the people of Lehi had not done anything to provoke their overlords, so they were confused as to why all of a sudden that the Philistines would raid their city. And then the Philistines just simply explained to them, saying that Samson had attacked them and they had come to capture him. Amen? And they was putting themselves in the position that we will come against you if you don't turn over Samson. So after hearing it, the Philistines were after Samson, and we see 3,000 men went for one man. Amen? And asked him what he had done. And the people of Judah were not interested, honestly, in getting involved in Samson's personal squabble with the Philistines. Nor were they asking him to deliver them from Philistine domination. Wow. When they had the opportunity to be delivered from the Philistines of yoke of bondage. And after they assured Samson they were not going to kill him themselves, he allowed them to bind him with ropes to deliver him to the Philistines. And when the men of Judah brought Samson back to Lehi, the awaiting Philistines ran shouting to meet him. As soon as they did, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson, and he easily broke the ropes that bound his arms and his hands, saints. He then picked up a fresh jawbone from the carcass of a donkey and killed 1,000 Philistines. Amen? And after throwing the jawbone away, Samson, as we see, was very thirsty. And for the first time, we see him addressing God in prayer. When you read in those five chapters, this was the first time, and the last time we saw is when he prayed to be able to have strength when he pulled down the pillars. Amen? So this is the first time Amen. We see him addressing God in prayer. He asked God if he gave him such a great victory, only to let him die of thirst and fall back into the hands of the uncircumcised Philistines. Sounds familiar when David said uncircumcised Philistine when he was talking to Goliath. God responded by giving him water from a rocky place at Lehi. But Samson was selfish in his actions and even in his prayer. But God responded with grace. Wow. God responded with grace. This is not to say most people are familiar with Samson, the strong man of the Bible. This is not to say, that God is pleased with a selfish attitude, but he loves us in spite of our weaknesses. And Samson, as we see later on, and we get to verse 20, that Samson judged Israel for 20 years, but he did so in a self-serving manner. Amen? I like that when it says Samson was selfish in his actions and even in his prayer, but God responded with grace. Wow. Jesus. Such is the heart of God. Because grace
Amen.
Puts away the sin. Grace puts away the sin instead of putting away the sinner. Amen. And that's what I receive when I use this as a mirror to reflect that, Lord, even I say, Lord, why are you still rolling with me in this situation? Why are you still giving me favor and grace? Even it's letting me know that there's times that even I want to put my own self away. And God is letting me know that's not the heart that I have. That's not the heart of God. And he lets me know because grace puts away the sin, but it won't put away the sinner. So I thank God for allowing me to be able to see that his grace is sufficient for thee. Amen. That you get to a place where you shut down and put things away because you can still keep going because God has your back. The key is making sure wherever you are, wherever you may be postured, if it's down, if it's downtrodden, that you get up and not stay in it. Amen? So enjoying this story, as sad as it may be, because I even see the greatness in Samson, what one man could do, and those that was with him, the people of Judah could not see and was more culpable with the world than they was with the deliverer that God had sent them. And sometimes being so comfortable and wrong, instead of having to deal with whatever little difficulties that may come when it comes to being right. And I'm saying, Lord, let me make sure that I am moving in the spirit and the posture that you have placed before me, that I am not comfortable in anything that may seem easy and comfortable, though it may be wrong. So once again, just enjoying and appreciating the mirror of these 15 to 20 verses that I got to be able to use to see myself on today. And understand that this ain't a Samson thing. This is a flesh thing. This is a character thing. This is why I have to make sure when it says Samson against the Philistine that I don't take Samson's name out and put my name there when it should be Jehovah against any enemy, against anything that's coming against me or my family. Amen? When I step into it and make it personal is when I start to mess things up. Amen? Is there anything else anybody would like to add before we close out?
Yes, I would like to add that the Bible do portray Samson's strength, and it was when the Holy Spirit rested upon him, and that was physical strength.
Amen.
But it didn't seem that Samson operated in that spiritually, you know, the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, or how to solve problems, not being enraged, you know, even when he walked away from his wife and even when he burnt down the Philistine things, a lot of that stuff was, as Bishop said, it was for personal reasons, amen, and because he responded within that way, it also caused for his own community, who he was set in place to deliver, to not want to be bothered with him. And so, you know, we just have to be mindful to make sure that the thing that motivates us, because when the power of God rests upon you, it is truly for God's glory. But what is your motivation? Amen. What is your motivation for the message that you preach? Is this the message that God has given unto you? What is your motivation for the things that you do? Amen. This is why we not only have to pray to God when we're in dire need, as Samson did, amen, but I believe that we ought to have that constant prayer, amen, always in fellowship with him, that spirit and truth worship, talking to him, acknowledging him in all of our ways that he may direct our path, amen, that we can see things through the eyes of God and not just out of our hurt and pain. And, beloved, I tell you, God will move mountains just for you to get the lesson, just for you to get what it is that he would have for you to get, that you may walk in the right path. He will move mountains. Amen. I tell you, I have a testimony that I am still mulling over that I just have not shared, because I just believe that God is so amazing, amen, in what he does and how he gets our attention. You know, just and sometimes we may deem it to be as if we're being chastised, or, you know, or God did not favor me. But actually what he's trying to do is to develop you, amen. He's trying to correct you, amen. He's trying to help you that you can go further, amen. And so I truly love that God gift upon Samson was without repentance. That gift continued to work until Samson's death. And when he prayed to God, God was faithful to answer, amen. Regardless of which state he found himself in, Samson knew that he was a Nazarite. He knew that he was one that was called by God, chosen by God, and sent by God. He knew that he was God's man. Amen. But, amen, we have to walk worthy of the vocation that we are called to. Samson had the Holy Spirit resting upon him, but in lieu of the King of Kings in me, this is our. And I honor the men on the line. Just want to honor you just because you are a man. And Bishop Hurd that is on the line, my husband, praise God. But the King of Kings in us graces us to walk in God's character. And so you saw how the scripture spoke about Samson, the Holy Spirit rested upon him. Amen. But your heart has to be right, my God. Your heart must be the word of God, that circumcision, that heart has to be right, and that mind must be transformed in order for you to do right. Amen. Praise God. And so, beloved, let us be encouraged. God has given us, those of us of the new covenant, much more than he had given unto Samson. Amen. Because we have the king and the kingdom living on the inside. Amen. So much revelation, so much empowerment, edification, amen. I mean, you have grace on the inside. Samson had to pray for grace to come down, but God put it in you. All you got to do is tap into it, praise God, amen. And so we are without excuse, praise God, hallelujah. We ought not to live to take our liberty or our freedom as a liberty to sin, amen. And so I just thank God for this message. Truly, it's a great message. And to whom so much is given, so much is required. So much is expected. Amen. When you are given much, amen, God requires so much of you. Amen. Hallelujah. So, listen, we cannot escape the responsibility and accountability of the gift of God. Amen. Eternal life, his spirit, amen, the anointing, the king and his kingdom on the inside. Amen. And so, Bishop, I release the line back to you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Is there anything or anybody else would like to say before we close out of this Sunday school? Amen. Amen. In the beauty of what God allowed us to not only read, but to be able to hear from Apostle, one thing was clear, that there is one that can truly transform your mind. Amen? One that can truly transform your mind if you so desire to be able to dine and sup with him, because the word lets us know that if you would actually confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you too shall be saved. Amen? Because we also know that with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Amen? And if you desire to know Jesus Christ, if you desire to have a transformed mind, if you desire to have a godly way of not just living but thinking and being able to move in your everyday life and your lifestyle, and to be able to change those things that are just displeasing to you but also displeasing to God, all you have to do is repeat after me. Dear Lord, I come to you today as a sinner. Lord, I ask that you save my soul and cleanse me from all sin. And with my mouth, as your word says, I am confessing, and with my heart I am believing that God has raised him from the dead. Raised him from the dead just for me, amen? And now, Lord, I have called upon your very name exactly as you have said in your word, and I believe that right now I am saved, amen? And if you have confessed that, if you have prayed that, you too at this very moment are saved, and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen? Amen. And with that, Apostle, you want to close out?
Amen, beloved. I just want to make a quick announcement. We have 1 p.m. Spirit and Truth Worship Service. Amen. This is the last of our men's fellowship for June. The King of Kings and me, we want you, when you log back, when you log out, we want you to log back in. Amen. At 12 p.m., at 1 p.m., amen, for the Spirit and Truth Worship Service. This is Sunday school. And so Spirit and Truth Worship Service starts at 1 p.m., beloved. And those of you that do not have Sunday school books, you can text me your address, P.O. Box, whatever you have, and I will mail you a Sunday school book. This way, when you are in Sunday school, you would have already studied the lesson, and then you can share more, amen, even as the bishop is teaching, amen. And so, Eternal Father, in the name of Jesus, by the blood, we thank you for your word that has come forth on today, O God. We give you glory, we give you praise, and we give you honor. We honor your word, we value it, we hold it dear to our heart. We ask for your grace, hallelujah, even as Samson prayed, O God. We are not in dire strait now, but we ask for your grace that we may obey your word. We need your unmerited favor, O God, hallelujah. We need your strength, O God, and whatever it is that the people on the line, your people, O God, may be going through, O God, let your grace fall down upon them now in the name of Jesus. Let your grace work in every situation and circumstance. Let it work for their good and let it work in their favor. Receive the blessing of the Lord that maketh you rich and add no sorrow. Agape love, beloved.